Be smart, guys. When you, if you're listening to this interview, be smart and listen to your body.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gorination. My name is Phil, and today's guest is somebody from the UK, a freestyle beast. I looked up some titles from you, the 3 times national UK champion, the 2-time yeah. WCO featherweight world champion, and like just a crazy guy, interesting personality from the UK. Welcome to the show, J. Chris.
Big love, G. Big love, big love. And thank you for having me, man.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to this. We received some questions from the community. I will answer, I will question them, ask them as well. And just to kick off, how do you present yourself? Who are you? How do you present yourself to somebody who doesn't know you?
Okay, so I'm like Jekyll and Hyde. I say there's two people, right? There's Small Spartan as an athlete, as an influencer, as a motivator. And then there's J. Chris as a coach and a PT and an entrepreneur. So there's two people. There's two people. Yeah.
In one person. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Some hard facts to begin with, because these were the questions that got asked the most. How old are you?
Guess. Guess how old I am, bro.
I think you are older than I think, because I would say something around 25, 26.
You're on point. You're on point. 25 years old, bro. I'm 25 years old. 1995, right there.
I could have seen that, but yeah, I didn't. So yeah. Where are you born?
So I'm born in the UK, born and bred in London. Central London as well. But my nationality, I'm 3/4 Filipino and 1/4 Mauritius.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very, very exotic, bro. Very exotic. Crazy. Very brown and exotic.
Nice. Yeah, but that's cool. That's how tall are you?
Bro, that's such a common question. Well, I'm actually 5. I think I'm quite small, bro. I'm very small. They don't call me Small Spartan for a reason.
Do you know the centimeters number? Otherwise,
I am not too sure on centimeters. 5'2" in centimeters. I think it's like
1 meter 57. Yeah, 57. Yeah. Okay. Just for the
1 meter 57. Wow.
We can say 157 centimeters. That sounds like maybe a little bit bigger, but
it does. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Nice. And how heavy are you? Or like right now?
I fluctuate between weights. My weight category originally is supposed to be 53 to 58 kg. So I fluctuate around that weight, but right now probably about 55s.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, 55 kg.
Nice.
I'm a baby, bro. I'm a baby. I'm small, but I'm a beast.
Yeah, that's true. I think everybody knows who knows your Instagram videos, who is somebody who has seen you on a competition. Like, your titles already say a lot. And I know you, I think, like, I saw you, your first performance live during the FIBO 2014. Can that be?
Wow. That's 6 years ago, G. Yeah. That's so long ago. Oh, my God. But that was when I was doing straddle banana planches. Oh my God.
So let's get back to this time even further. How did you get in touch with calisthenics, with the sport in general?
I didn't know it was a sport. I didn't know it was a thing. I thought it was like exercises. That's what I originally thought. It was just exercises. But when I dug deep, it became a thing. So I came across it, I think, like 7.5 years ago from this date. And I just saw a big bodybuilder. One of my friends was a big bodybuilder. And I was very small, bro. I was around 35 kg at like 18 years old. It was very small. You could bicep curl me. That's how small I was. Yeah. And, you know, it was got to a point in my life where I was like, I need to change my lifestyle. I need to change myself. So I wanted to work out. Started working out with my friend in the gym, doing bodybuilding exercises, you know, bench press, the normal shit, lat pull downs, tricep extensions, all of that. He ended up saying, if you could do this move, I will give you £20. So he ended up doing a muscle up, bro. And he was like around 100 kg, but he was stacked to bodybuilder weight, IFBB bodybuilder, proper professional bodybuilder. He ended up doing a muscle up, and I was like, wow. I tried, didn't succeed. So I ended up just trying and trying and trying. You can actually see it on my Instagram. If you scroll all the way down, you see my first ever like muscle ups and the way it gets better. I ended up doing chicken wing muscle ups. Everyone starts with chicken wing muscle ups. And then ever since then, in muscle up on YouTube, there wasn't really much. It was just Frank Medrano, Hannibal for King, a couple of the Bar Stars guys, and then I saw freestyle, and then that was, I was just like, oh my god, I need to get involved. I literally quit my gym membership, got my £20 from my friend first of all, and then took myself to Primrose Hill Bar Park, and I just started literally freestyling. There was no other explanation. And then I made my Instagram just for myself to see my own progress. It wasn't for anyone and anything else. It was for myself. And then some of my videos started to get engagement, and so I didn't know. I'm so rubbish with technology. I didn't know Instagram was a thing. I didn't know. I think it was like Facebook, you know, like for your family and friends. Ended up being a whole big thing. Like, started getting invited to competitions. I lost my first competition, and then I started training hard and haven't lost ever since my second competition in the UK.
Wow.
So yeah, and big credit to Bar Stars, big credit to my boy Chris Herrier. Like, these guys have been there from the start. Big love to my team first of all, and my company Bar Sparta. Without them, we all literally as a community in the UK came together and just took this by storm.
Crazy.
That's how I started. Yeah,
that's like insane. So it also came with videos, like with YouTube videos. There was nobody doing it in front of you in the UK?
There was no one doing nothing in front of me. It was just me, and I give credit to Big Spartan, Anthony Ferguson. I saw it was a 6'4" black guy in the park, same park as I was. I'm a 5'2" Asian, and we literally looked at each other like, we should work out together.
Yeah.
And then we created Bar Sparta and started creating a community, and then we literally started going through Instagram, because I didn't know it was a thing. Started going through Instagram, and then we saw Chris Herrier, where he got in touch with me and was like, you should keep it up, keep going, Ed, Bar Stars. And then I saw the rest of the community in the UK. I didn't know there was a lot of reps and sets community here in the UK, because as a freestyler, reps and sets back in the day didn't get along. Now it's a bit different. Now it's a bit different. We are all in one, but before, we didn't know. But yeah, I didn't know anyone in the UK. I would say, I am Bar Stars invited me to my first competition, Stephen Hugh Landers. He's like a 40-year-old white guy. Do you remember him?
Yes, I do.
He's living in Australia right now. He's got, he's over there now. But yeah, he put me in my first competition, and then he took me to Russia, man. So big credit to him. And that's why I met everyone else. I met you at FIBO.
Yes,
you know, and that's why I saw Baristi workout put me in competition. So it just took me by storm. I was literally, bro, going with the flow. There was no other way about it. I loved it so much. It took me out of the hood. It took me out of a lot of shit that I loved it. It was like another family to me, you know.
Wow. That brings us to a good question from Iris from Austria, who asked, where would you be without street workout right now?
In jail. Or probably dead, bro. I'm laughing about it now because I'm living such a good life, bro. Compared to before. I'd rather be in jail or dead, bro. That's for sure. Like, all my friends from in the past are pretty much all in jail. Like, literally. So I'm just lucky. I'm lucky to be alive.
Wow. Crazy. And you talked about the challenges that you had, with bodybuilding, etc. Like, what kind of challenges did you have during your street workout competition, but maybe even before, like your street workout journey, but maybe even before in your life that you overcome with the sport?
Just in daily lifestyle challenges or daily, bro, a lot, man, a lot. Like, a lot of people don't know a lot of things about me, but I'm adopted from born, bro. So from born, I don't know my real parents. Like, I don't know who they are. I don't know who the fuck they are, where they are. I don't care, because I'm good. But I'm adopted from born by, let me show you actually. My tattoos tell a big story. So I got adopted by this woman called Josephine. She's actually a friend of my real mum's. She brought me up from when I was born to 10 years old. And then she passed away unlucky by cancer. She had a brain tumor. So I went to foster care for a couple months. And it wasn't really good for me at foster care because as a small, very, very abnormally small child, I got bullied, like heavily. So my foster care was like, I needed to move out. I need to find somewhere where I need to live. Is there any family members I know? I was like, I ain't got no family members. I only got this one friend who lived in the same area as me, Alex, who is now my brother. So I ended up staying with him for next 2 weeks after. Well, this was when I was like 10 years old, bro. Like 10 years old. And then his mom ended up adopting me. So now I've got three brothers. So I've got three sons. I've got three brothers, stepbrothers and a stepmom, another stepmom called Elizabeth. And it's this tattoo right here. Oh, that's my stepbrother, actually. Elizabeth is this one. Mm-hmm. And she ended up adopting me. So I got adopted twice. So she's still my current mom. I ended up moving out when I was 18. Got involved with the streets at a very young age, from like 13. Don't really want to discriminate myself on an interview, but got into a lot of trouble with the police, with drugs, London gangs, and nearly was going to jail at like the age of 19, just before calisthenics. And I was looking to do a lot of time. But lucky I didn't. I was a smart kid, ended up getting house arrest and community service, and then I ended up stopping everything I did, giving up all the street life, all the hood life, and finding calisthenics, wanting to get fit and healthy and get these gains. Like, I didn't have none of this before, bro. And that was a lot of the challenges that I went through in my life that a lot of people don't know. Kind of dissimilar as Tattooed Strength, except for Tattooed Strength spent majority of time in jail, and I spent majority of my time in the streets of London. That's literally it. Got very lucky.
Crazy. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Have you always been like an extrovert person, or did it develop with time?
What do you mean by extrovert person, bro?
Well, like you're somebody who when he comes to a competition, like you're quite loud and I call it extrovert, you know, like somebody.
I get it. Yeah, bro. Yeah, I've always been like that. Well, I came from my first mom. This is another thing. This is where my confidence come from. My first mom, she ended up putting me into a lot of acting. So I was a professional actor doing London TV adverts, and I was in theater plays when I was younger, from 5 to 10 years old. So I got a lot of experience in front of a camera and in front of thousands of crowds. I did tours around London in the theater play called The King and I. Ever heard The King and I? And no. The Lion King?
Lion King, yeah.
Yeah, I was one of the little fucking tigers running around, bro.
Wow.
So I had a lot of experience then, just before my first mum passed away. That's where I got my experience. So I would say that I hate being in a place, especially when it's a sport and it's quiet, bro. I hate it. There needs to be at least some character. That's what will get that for me. That's what will get the sport to blow. Do you know what I mean? Look at boxing, look at UFC, look at football, basketball, all the four sports that are making a lot of money right now. Not even a lot of money, a lot of excitement, mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Without the extrovert, there wouldn't be no spice, no sass, you know, like with this interview. If I was boring, just boring, straight, you know, being road and hood, this interview would be fucking shit, right?
Okay.
But right now, we're trying to add that spice. And that's what I try to do with calisthenics and street workout in general. Try to add the excitement, the positivity, and try to show what we do as calisthenics athletes and coaches.
Interesting. A really crazy story that, that's really inspiring for me, because it's something that I didn't know about you. It's really great to get to know this. Do you still know who was your inspiration to start with calisthenics? Like
yes, I call me and him are boys to this day. He comes to visit me in London. Chris Herrier and Always Go Wide. Them two. There's a lot more, of course. Eric Ortiz is my boy. Daniel License. These four people we always keep in contact with. We check it. We come and fly to each other all the time, and also I keep up with the new school kids like the West Coast Warriors guys and people in Germany, Karash. You see me, bro? I'm good with everyone, man. Like everyone, I'm inspired by everyone in all different many ways. You know, it's not. But who first inspired me was Always Go Wide. Do you remember him, Jordan Rollins?
Honestly,
please,
no.
I did not remember him.
I'm sorry.
He was the first guy to like do transfers, like the fucking transfers, bro. He was like from New York. Go on Instagram right now. That's what I want you to do. Go on Instagram right now and type, if you're listening to this right now, go on Instagram and type in Always Go Wide and Jordan Rollins, even on YouTube. Type these people in and you will see why I got inspired by these guys. These guys were the first people to freestyle crazy in my eyes, you know. Other than Paz and all of these people in the Bar Stars community, he was the man for me. He was my inspiration.
Okay, nice. I'm gonna put him in the description for everybody not finding him right now, but
No, you'll find him. Do you know what he deleted his Instagram at like 200k and disappeared to Hawaii with his girlfriend Juicy Sin, and then he ended up coming back to life now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Nice. Yes, so Yadav Street Workout asked, how long did it get you to learn the planche? So let's still get back to this first chicken wing muscle up. How long did it take from there to get to the planche?
I'm still working on my shit now, bro. I'm still working on my planche now, bro. So for me to get a good solid planche, I think it took me a good 3 years to learn properly, because you have to, you know, you have to learn the bad form first. That's what I ended up having to do. I had a really, really bad form in my statics, really bad form, and then you had to go backwards in order to go forwards, right? That's what happens in calisthenics. And the consistency as well, bro. It depends how consistent you are. Like, if you don't train your statics, you're not going to get them. Simple as that. If you freestyle and you want statics, you're not going to get your statics without doing statics and your reps and your conditioning. A lot of the kids new these days and the new generation come to this game with no strength whatsoever, which is up to them. But my advice, if you want longevity, if you want to last long in this game, you need to get stronger. You need to learn about your muscles, about yourself. You know what I mean? So it depends on how consistent you are. That's how long you'll get your planche. If you do planche every day and don't rest, you're not going to get your planche. You're going to get injured. That's what's going to happen. So you need to be smart as well when you're learning your planche.
Okay.
So there's no time limit. There's no time limit, bro. That's what I'm trying to say to people. There's no time limit. You can't just say, you know, all these programs get six packs in 6 weeks. That is a load of shit to me. It don't come like that. It comes for a lifetime, you know. Like planche is basically life for me. Like I'm still trying to learn how to proper protract and how to dip my hips properly still to this day, and I can planche. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's always a next step. There's always a next step. Like you have a chicken wing muscle up and then you have a good muscle up, and then you say, oh, that's not strict enough. It's not a muscle up to me. So it depends on how consistent you are. That's how long you'll get your planche.
Okay, so for somebody who just started, or like when you look back on you as a chicken wing muscle up guy,
two, three years.
And like, with your experience now, how would you start with planching?
Oh, bro! Oh my God! If I had my knowledge and my experience now, I think I would. Program is coming out very, very soon, and my beginners 101 program is coming out in the next 3 weeks. So my beginners program is 16 weeks, bro. 16 weeks I'll get you to pull up, push up, dip, and then 16 weeks probably to get your muscle up. So I would say a year to get a planche.
Okay.
The knowledge that I have now, I think it would take me a year if I was to start all over again. Yeah, a whole year to get a solid, and it will probably be cleaner because I still don't have, I won't have the mistakes that I made before.
Okay, and what would the schedule look like? Just to teaser a little bit the planche program.
A teaser. So it would be core conditioning on some days. It'll be shoulder conditioning, and then it'll be planche progressions, and it'll be planche exercises. There's a difference. Just want to get that twisted to people. Yeah, there's a difference. Progressions and exercises are totally different things. Mm-hmm. Totally different things. But yeah, they're the four kind of. I guess the four kind of hints I'll give you. That's what's going to be in my program very soon. And it's all going to be videoed, and I'm going to be doing it with you. So it's not going to be just a standard program where you read it and then there's a video. No, it's going to be, yo, guys, this is day two, and I'm doing this planche journey with you. We're doing this exercise. 3, 2, 1, let's go. That's what my program is going to be. This is why I'm taking so long. It's going to be heavily detailed. It's going to be all different angles, slow-mos and everything, as well as explanations in the PDF. So that's my planche program.
Nice. Sounds good. What do you consider as your biggest success in your career right now?
Being here, being alive, I'm just grateful. That's my success for me. Just being able to make a living from what I do. Literally from making a living to inspire people. That's my biggest success. Obviously, the money is good. Obviously, the money is good. When people say, oh, the money is good, the line is definitely good. It definitely adds a touch to it. But the success for me is from the life change from what I used to be to now. That was the success for me. And look at me, bro. I'm smiling all the time, man. And I never used to be like this. So you see me in my videos, I look angry. Yeah, when I work out, I'm angry. But everyone's angry, you know. But I'm naturally happy. That's my biggest success is to be happy, literally.
Wow. Okay, so for you, it's the ongoing journey. That's like basically the goal of all the stuff that you do and touching people's lives.
Yeah, of course. And trying to get calisthenics to the mainstream sports. That's one of my biggest goals right now. Like I'm working with so many brands, you know, I've got my agents and my managers working on putting me into adverts and stuff as a calisthenics athlete. So that's like one of my dream successes. That's what I would say. It's a dream because it hasn't happened yet. It's happening. It's happening. I'm on the BBC News. I'm on Sky News. I'm on all of these things. We just need to make something to make this sport just go bang. And oh my God, kids and everyone will just be going crazy.
Okay. And right now you're like you're working as a PT.
So I'm a actual influencer. So I get jobs for brands, loads of brands, and I get loads of modeling deals, shoots, photo shoots, video shoots, and predominantly PT. I'm trying to shift onto online. So soon I'm going to be an online coach as well. Going to be having classes very, very soon as well as the online program. So that's what I do as a career. Oh, and I have my own business. I have my own business, Bar Sparta, where we sell merchandise and personal training service for people in London, Dubai, and LA, and New York. Them four cities is where we can be stable, as we would say.
Nice. And nice locations.
Yeah, I love them locations, bro.
That's great. Yes. Now I forgot my question, but
wow!
Yeah, no. We talked about.
I'm talking so much that you're just like you're not. Like, yeah.
No, we talked about the before the interview. We talked about the weather, and you talked about that you're working outdoor, and that's something that I don't see a lot because, like in the temperature, like of the UK, it's quite hard from my experience keep up the high level within a cold outdoor wet area, you know, like how
I agree. Got to get on with it, man. It just like I said, do you want me to be real and say what I would normally say?
Yes.
Stop being a pussy. That's what I would say. Stop being a pussy. A little bit of rain, a little bit of wetness is not going to hurt you, you know. You just got to be a bit more careful, a bit more smart, especially if you're freestyling. or doing weighted calisthenics, you know, because it can be a bit dangerous. But you got to suck it up, man. We live in Europe. We don't live in fucking Bahamas where it's sunny all the time. You know, you live in Germany. We all have to suck it. Like, we all have to just get used to it and be a man and just get out there and do what we have to do. If you don't, then go find yourself a gym. You know, it's fine. But I love outdoor workouts, bro. It's just, I feel more free. I can smell the air. You know, I don't smell no gymnastics feet. You know, sometimes you go in a gymnastics hall, it smells like feet. Yeah, I don't smell. I don't like that. I don't like that. You go in the gym, get people BO, and you know, the atmosphere in the gym is a bit different as well compared to outdoor workout. Everyone in outdoors is, I don't know, it seemed a bit more friendlier. I don't know why. Yeah, that's why I work out outdoors, bro.
Always,
bro. Always.
But you have to have a gym membership somewhere, no?
I have a gym membership because I train my clients in a specific gym, but that's because of them, not me. So I don't physically pay for a gym membership, no, because I disagree with using the gym. Some of the facilities in the gyms, like the box jumps, the boxes, and certain things like the stretch apparatus and the mats, yeah, I love it. Of course, the spas and all that, I love it. But if I'm going to work out as small Spartan, bro, I'm going to the bars. I'm going outside to the park, bro. I'm not like, yeah, okay, yesterday was pouring rain, yeah? And I went to Brixton Street Gym. But, bro, Brixton Street Gym is predominantly a calisthenics gym. Mm-hmm. So I went to a calisthenics gym in South London. That would be like the one-off occasion. But okay. I'm always outside. Always outside.
Well, respect for that. I hope that you're like, I know that with this mindset and like outdoor has a lot of advantages if you take it, if you warm up properly, I guess. And take your joints. It works, you know. But
yeah, exactly. You know, bro. Like, you just got to warm up. The thing is, people go into the gym and because it's warm already, they don't feel like they should warm up. You know, No, you got to warm up wherever you are. You know. Yeah. I take them Russians as a prime example, bro. Them Russians, Ukrainians, bro, they're in a cold ice box, bro. They're basically in a country full of ice, and they're still absolute animals. Big props to all of them guys, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like, these people with the minimum of like equipment and stuff like that, they and temperature, et cetera, nutrition and like a lot of stuff take out the maximum. That's really impressive.
Exactly, man. Exactly. There's loads of films being made about outdoor workouts. Look at Rocky Balboa, bro. Yeah. You know, they don't call him Rocky for no reason. But yeah, that is literally what it is. I love working out outdoors, bro.
Okay. Others Street Workout asked, how do you fight the fear when freestyling? Because you don't train in a gym. I think that's a good connection, because you don't have like a lot of mattresses. Like, how do you fight the fear?
You're saying it already there, bro. You just said it. I fight the fear because I put myself in the deep end. I literally put myself in the deep end, bro. So I love freestyling outdoors because of the stiff, hard bar and the floor. You know, it forces me to land it. I use a lot of mental exercises to tell me, like, if I fall, I'm going to die. So I'm better not let go. That's the kind of mentality I have. It's always about channeling the energy in the right way. You know, like, I'm always positive, bro. I always try to be positive as much as I can, especially when I get to the bars, because that your mind is where it's, your mind will take you more further than your body can ever imagine, you know. So that's how I just dig deep, man. I dig deep. I fail and fail and fail to the point that it's just like, I know what's the worst that's going to ever happen to me if I fall outside, you know. And that's what I tell majority of my clients. And I don't know if you follow Little Spartan. I train a little 14 year old boy. Yes. And look at him, he's 14. If you see a 14-year-old kid outside flying around, and I'll be honest, he's a bit of a pussy. He's a bit scared as well, but he ended up growing some balls, and look at him now. He's 5'40 in 10 minutes. Who does that? You know? Yeah, it's just I've realized ever since I've went in a gymnastics room, I become more of a pussy because I got used to the bendy ball. I got used to the mats. So I try as hard as I can to stay outside. I try as hard as I can, you know? It forces me to become a man, you know? We're basketball for a reason, bro. We got put out in the cold and we fight that wolf. You've watched Spartan 300.
Yeah.
That's what we do on the bars, bro. We put ourselves outside and we do it, man.
Okay. So you don't even get into the comfort zone. So you don't have a problem to get out of it.
Yeah. The thing is, everyone has their own comfort zone. Everyone. Like my comfort zone, for example, is I love being on a small bar. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if you notice in competitions, I don't freestyle on the same bar as every other freestyler because they're all too high for me. Mm-hmm. They're way too high for me. So that's my comfort zone. But you can always come out of there. It's a process. It don't just come like that, man. You know, we're not aliens where we can just be like, yeah, I'm going to erase this part of my memory to be like, I'm not a pussy no more. No, it takes training. Just like training yourself. You know, you got to train your mind. This is why I want to go to Thailand, bro, and see them monks, man. Oh my God.
Is it a goal? Yeah,
that's a goal for me, bro, to go see the monks and take a vow of silence for a little bit. And that's going to be probably the hardest bit. And learn how to train like them mentally. Mm-hmm. Meditation, when it comes to food and the way they look at things in life. I want that same bloody outlook, man, because I've changed my mindset this far. I believe I can go a little bit more and I believe everyone else can do the same, you know? But yeah, that's what I think about when it comes to coming out your comfort zone, bro.
Wow. Crazy. How do you work out? What is your workout schedule? How does the week look like?
So Sunday is a rest day. Sunday is a rest day. I'm chilling. I'm editing videos and doing nothing. Monday, clients and active rest day. So a bit of mobility, mm-hmm. bit of scap training, resistance bands. Tuesday, heavy freestyle. Heavy free 6-hour session every Tuesdays and Saturdays. So Tuesdays, freestyle content and freestyle. Reps and sets and statics and stretch. Obviously a warm-up, obviously that comes with the freestyle in the beginning, so that's like predominantly 5 to 6 hours of socializing and training. Okay. As well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know how it is when you get to the bar, you're there for a long time, especially when it's summer.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Wednesday push day, that's it. It's so simple as that. Wednesday push day, all push exercises. Thursday rest. Friday active pool day. So not necessarily pull-ups, it'll be light set scap training again. Mm-hmm. Dead hangs, a lot of wrist stretches, you get the gist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saturday again, heavy freestyle, heavy statics, reps and sets, and again Sunday rest day. So I predominantly work out 4 days a week, I would say 4 or 5 days a week. Yeah.
Wow. So in total in a week, how many hours do you put in your like athlete career?
Oh shit, I do 12 hours on Tuesdays and Saturdays. 12 16 18 18 18 wow. Hours. Yeah, it's all right. Could do more, but yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's because I've got the business side of things as well. If I didn't have the business side of things, I'll just be working out every single day and just chilling, you know, but I can't do that. I've got to pay the bills.
But it's so interesting, you know, there are like athletes putting 40 hours in it, like 18 hours, like it's so different. That's what always fascinates me in these interviews, you know, like everybody's completely different. It seems like I'm talking to like a wrestler and a boxer and like feather, like I don't know what.
Yeah, I get you. So I different. Get you. Yeah. But everyone goes within them, you know. When I was younger, bro, when I started this shit, it was 7 days a week, every day, even in my bedroom, doing it. Like, that's literally, it was probably about 40 hours a week. Yeah, like a job. It was like a job because I didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I was street life and doing calisthenics at the first 2 years of my life. Like, it, literally, that's what it was. So it was like 40 hours a week, for the first 2 years of my career. But then it got serious and I just had to prioritize certain things, you know. I'm 25 years old. I want to be able to do this for the rest of my life. You know, I want to be able to have abs like this and be able to do the things I can do until I'm about 50, you know. So for me, I'm trying to be smart with my time and my body, my energy, you know. Like, I'm starting to feel it now. I'm not the same as how I used to be before, you know. Before, I had no DOMS. Like, I wake up and I'll be like, oh, I'm fine. I'm going to work out. I worked out yesterday, bro, and my shoulder is killing me, bro. I feel like an old man, but that's DOMS. That comes with the lactic acid, but I never used to get that before. So within time, you start to be smarter and smarter and smarter, you know. I still work out insanely hard at certain times, but I've got to prioritize certain things, you know. Yeah. Like this interview, for example. I prioritized this interview, and I didn't work out.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. And I think people will appreciate it.
And I
appreciate it as well.
Big love, my bro. Big love. It's an honor to be on here, man.
That's great. Because, the thing that I miss in calisthenics is sharing the knowledge. I know, like, there are a lot of people now coming up with planche programs, etc., and sharing their knowledge. This is why it's really good, that this sport develops also, like, from just free content on YouTube, etc., to, I will just take a shortcut, take the experience from you being in the game for seven years,
yeah,
you know, bro. Like, people can take a shortcut, and the same with the interview. Like, they see maybe, oh, you just work out 4 days a week, or just 18 hours per 4 days a week and 18 hours per week, you know. Yeah. What am I doing? Like, oh, maybe this is where my elbow pain comes from, this because I'm working out 35
this hours. Bro, in my opinion, the calisthenics that everyone loves, the calisthenics athletes that everyone loves, all the main ones, like a lot of the main ones, they don't even look after themselves, bro. And they don't, like, in my eyes, they don't really look at, like, they're calisthenics athletes, but they're not really athletes, you know. You don't, if you have to look after yourself, you know, athletes comes, the word athlete means so many different things to me, bro. It just not only means you can work out and do planches and freestyle and, oh, yeah, happy days. No, athlete becomes a motivator. You're going to know about your body, know how to train, know how to coach. That's an athlete for me, knowing how to look after your body for recovery, for mobility. Like, see how many people say to me, I got injuries, bro. I won a championship with a dislocated knee. I won a UK championship in a dislocated knee. Ever since then, I haven't been injured for the 7 years of my life, bro. I've only been injured once, and then from there, I was like, I'm not getting injured again. I know what I need to do. But everyone else seems to get injured every 3-4 months, and it's like, don't you learn from your mistakes? So this is why I train the way I train now. I'm cool now. I can full planche now if you really want me to. I don't need a warm up, but that's because of the way I train. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be smart with your body. You only have one body, bro. You know, once you, bro, if your wrist, especially calisthenics, if your wrist and your shoulders go, oh my God, that's it. Like, a scorpion bar Spartan, one of my Spartans, he's been out for the last year and a half because he's got tendonitis, very, very bad tendonitis on both his elbows. Oh. Both. Can't even hang, dead hang. He went from full planching to doing double backflips to now dead hang because he didn't listen to his body. So be smart, guys. If you're listening to this interview, be smart and listen to your body. Don't work out like someone else, because just guess what? Reality is, you're not that person. You're probably better. You're probably different, you know? So try not to be like someone. Be a better version of yourself. That's it.
Nice. That's a good reminder. What was the hardest move that you've learned so far? Like, what was the move the skill you've struggled the most with? Maybe a freestyle move, maybe a statics move.
Freestyle move, a dynamic move. I think the worst one was definitely my special move, my power 540, bro. That was probably the hardest. But I saw that move. That was the first move I saw that got me into freestyling. And it was done by Jordan Rollins, always go wide. And he done it in WCO competition, Battle of the Bars, one of the first ones. And but I, ever since then, I was trying to learn it. So that was 6 years ago, bro. Wow. I only landed it clean in my whole entire life last year. It took me that long to like get the balls to even twist. But the hardest move, in my opinion, is definitely the full planche. 100% is the full planche. It comes with so many disciplines, all different types of disciplines. It's unreal. Like, I remember giving up freestyle for a whole couple months just to learn how to tuck planche, bro. I was that weak, you know? It took a lot of discipline, dedication, commitment, and a lot of different types of trainings that I would never thought about in my life. Like, who would have thought that I would be training my wrists? Who trains their fucking wrists? I did, so I can put pressure when I lean on my wrist. Yeah, I trained my front delts. I trained my hollow so much. Like, there was so much things that I never thought I would be training so much just to get a move, you know? But yeah, full planche and power 540, bro. That was my two worst moves. Anything power related is way more harder than anything swing related. Just remember that, people in the interview. Remember that anything you see swing is it takes like 10 minutes to learn. Anything with strength, power, it takes a little bit longer.
I think if you have the right mindset, because if you have...
Yes, yeah, fear, yeah, 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 yeah. If you have the right mindset, but bro, someone with like Scorpion Basbar, he came from a parkour background, bro. Bro, a professional parkour background. Then he came into calisthenics, yeah? And I judged him in his first competition, bro. Do you know what he did? He did a double 360 into a 540 into a backflip castaway.
What?
And I was like, bro, you did something before. This is not your first sport. He was like, yeah, I'm a parkour athlete. I was like, boom, there you go. I was like, this is why certain things are a bit easier. But he couldn't do a planche. He couldn't do a front lever. Couldn't do a back lever because he was that weak. You know, so then that's what I was trying to say. That, like, yeah, it comes with mindset. But if you have the mindset, if you have the balls already, swing moves are predominantly easier than power moves. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Something that I get from a lot of young athletes is that they say, oh, now I'm going to I'm able to do muscle ups. Like, I'm doing calisthenics for a few months. I'm quite progressing fast. Now in 3 months, I want to be able to do the straddle planche. And then 3 months after, I want to do the full planche. You know, like something that I would be interested in from your point of view is like on a scale from zero is like a beginner. Where is the straddle planche? If the full planche is the 100, you know, is the straddle planche like a third?
Halfway.
Is it really halfway?
Oh, bro, it's a good question, because I say it to my clients all the time. A straddle planche feels so much different compared to a full. Full planche feels like you've got an elephant on your back, bro, on your bum, yeah. On your legs. I got skinny ass legs, but it felt like, oh, but it feels so different than a straddle planche. Put it this way, with a straddle planche, you can use your mobility and your flexibility more than if you was the full planche. So that's why I would say it feels different. So half, bro, I don't know. Okay. Scale of zero to 10, full planche is 10, zero is muscle up. Say four.
Four, okay, so nearly halfway.
Yeah, four. Four, because there's so much more to learn after that. You know, there's the presses, straddle presses, pike presses, handstand presses, and flags, and front levers, back levers, front lever pull-ups, hefestos. There's all that in between, you know?
Okay.
But that's before planche. Like, I wouldn't say to someone, learn a planche straight away unless you got a muscle up, a decent amount of push-ups and dips.
What was the second one? Muscle up?
Unless you have a muscle ups and a decent amount of push-ups and dips.
Okay.
Then, yeah, decent amounts, you know? Okay. Decent, yeah? With great form, because, yeah, planche takes a lot of people out, man. It takes them out of the game, meaning, like, you can get injured if you don't know what you're doing, you know? You can get injured very, very hard, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're young, you should be all right. Just be careful. That's all.
Okay. Farhan is asking, what does your diet look like? How do you get these abs?
My diet. It's a bit weird. I'm a weird eater, bro. So I eat everything. Everything, but I fluctuate through diet. So if I'm compete, for example, if I'm competing, bro, I'll be a half-hearted vegan, if that makes sense. So half the week I'll eat light meats, white meats, so chicken and salmon predominantly, and then like occasional beef. I love beef, so occasional beef, but sometimes I'll go vegan, vegetarian foods just so I can stay light. But in all in honesty, I'm sensible when I eat, that's all. I have a lot of sugar. That's my probably the worst thing. That's probably bad for me. I can't give up sugar. Sugar's so hard to give up. Oh my God, it's so hard.
It's a drug.
It's definitely a drug. But I predominantly keep it clean and healthy. I don't eat no McDonald's and shit like that. No junk food. I do eat a packet of, or I say crisps, but you guys will probably call it chips. I eat a
Yes.
packet of chips. Sometimes, but a burger every now and then, but yeah, predominantly healthy.
Okay. Cool.
Smart eating, that's what I call it. Smart eating. I also have a balanced diet, try not to go one side or the other. I sometimes fast like this. Oh, I haven't eaten today and it's already 6:49 and I haven't eaten.
Because you wanted us to see your abs during the interview, or why?
No, I don't know. I'm just not hungry. I had a coffee in the morning. I had a cup of tea, like English tea, and I'm good. I'm good. I'm probably gonna eat now because my roommates are cooking. But yeah, other than that, I go for how I eat how I feel. I don't just eat because oh it's time. I'm not a bodybuilder, you know. I don't eat to put on size. I don't eat to. I eat for performance, bro. You know,
Okay.
if I'm hungry, I'll eat. If I'm not hungry, I won't eat. Simple as that.
So you don't count calories, you don't like stuff like
I don't count calories. I'm not a nutritionist, so
that. Okay.
I stay in my lane, bro. You know, if I want to go into bodybuilding, yes, I'll count my calories, but I'm not trying to get bigger that quick. I don't have a competition anytime soon, so I'm chilling right now. I'm liking the ripped. I'm getting a little bit bigger though, bro, compared to before. No, like a little bit compared to before. So
Nice.
yeah, I'm putting on a little bit of size slowly, but I'm training differently as well. So yeah.
That's good. Nice. Do you take supplements? Sudden Sensi asked this.
I used to take. When my first 2 years, I used to take protein shake and pre-workout and creatine, all three. So I used to take all three, but me and creatine don't get along, bro. You know, where that is, I get too, like, it's like I have so much testosterone, so much energy, so much anger in me when I take creatine. Pre-workout, I take it when I feel like shit, bro. I take it, but if I when I feel like shit, like when I'm really, really bad. Really bad mood, I'll take it and I have to squeeze in a workout. Yeah. But other than that, no. And after the first 2 years, don't take anything now.
Okay.
Some herbal products here and there, but other than that, nothing else. Nothing else. CBD, some oils, some fish oils, that's it. Anything else? No.
Okay, good. Then the last question from the community, before we come to the quick questions and slowly to the end.
Yeah.
How do you keep your form 365 days the year? Is asking Danielka STU.
Daniel STU. What? How do I keep my form? What do you mean? How do I keep my form?
Because like you see a lot of people being bulky, thinner.
I just keep doing me, bro. I don't change anything. I keep the same routine all year round, so I'm re bro. So I'm ready. So if you're listening to this interview and you want to battle me and you want to have a competition, I'm ready. I'm ready all year round. So I'm ready. That's literally why how I do it. I just try to keep and maintain everything. What I do realize I'm doing right now is I'm prioritizing my business. So My endurance is a bit, you know, and my abs are slowly disappearing, but because I used to be way more ripped, but if it came down to anything else, I just try to keep up with everything, you know. If I'm going, so exactly, if I'm going on holiday, like I'm always abroad, I'm always away, you know, but I try to keep strict in when I work out. So I work out Tuesdays and Saturdays heavily hard, six hours a day. I told you, I still do that in every country I go to. So if I'm Germany on a Tuesday, I'm still gonna work out for 6 hours. There's nothing gonna change, you know. Even the food, bro. If I'm in Russia, in an English tea, bro, I'm gonna find the food that I like, you know. If I'm in Norway, the same. If I want vegan food, I'm gonna go get it, you know. Like, I'm a go-getter, bro, so that's literally it.
Nice, I like that. Yes, so we're coming to a few quick questions for the end. Quick questions, quick answer. Pizza or burger?
Burger.
Oh, yeah.
By miles, I hate pizza.
Really?
Yeah, that's a little secret, but I hate pizza, bro.
Okay.
It has to be as thin as a piece of paper for me to eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Dogs.
But you don't own one, right?
My dog passed away last week. I had him for 11 years.
Oh shit! Sorry for that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's he's still in my heart, so it's part of the family. But yeah, he passed away two weeks ago, I think it was. Yeah, I had him for 11 years, man. I had a big, blonde, 6 foot German Shepherd.
No, wow.
Full blonde, bro.
Oh.
Like blonde, like your hair, like exactly like your hair, all over. There was not one bit that was like blonde, bro. It was beautiful, man. But yeah, dogs.
Wow. Okay. Your favorite location in the world? Favorite country, favorite city?
For what?
For, I wrote down everything. Holidays, but like for everything, it's always
LA. LA.
Okay.
LA. Down LA. Forget anywhere else in the world. For everything. Nature, cult, like there's no culture in LA, it's just American people. For bars, for calisthenics, fitness, for food, for fashion, for music, LA.
Is it a goal to live there one day?
Yeah, this is one day until I conquer London.
Okay,
then yeah,
okay,
one day.
What would change for you if social media just disappeared overnight?
What do you mean by change in what aspect? Like it just deletes itself.
Yeah. Like how does your life look like tomorrow?
I'll still train my clients and I'll still train, just won't make no videos. That's it.
Okay.
And I'll still probably go to all of these countries. Just you won't see it. That's it.
Okay.
Everything will be exactly the same. Just no videos, no motivation, nothing. Just me living my life.
So basically, it's just sad for us and the community that social media for you
exactly doesn't
change anything.
It doesn't change anything. Oh yeah, a couple brand deals, a couple sponsors will probably drop out, but other than that, I still get paid. I still enjoy what I do. I still train. I still see the people that I love. That's it.
Okay.
So nothing will change.
Nice. Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete?
Yeah, I have a couple, but for different things.
Then just go, let's go through the categories. That's okay, always
so
interesting.
Eric Ortiz, my all-round favorite athlete. All-round. I think he's the G. Yeah, I think I love watching him. I love watching him. Yeah, no homo. No homo. For dynamics, there's this Colombian kid called Carblitos. He does like a 900 to 720, bro, in one combo. And he does like the extraordinary shit. But he's a new generation. So for freestyle, like hands down, I'll like slow down and watch his videos for freestyle dynamics. Ikwan.
Mm-hmm.
Ikwan and Tony Gasti, them two. Daniel License for the professionalism on a production, bro. And him as a person. I know him deep down, so he's one of my favorite athletes as well. And for business, Harrier, my boy Harrier. Harrier and Frank, them two. You know, big shout out to Frank as well, living in his $1 million house. The cunt. Sorry for my language, but he is a G. He is living his life as well. Them two. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So two for business, three for calisthenics and videos. Yeah.
Nice. Who would you love to battle in a competition?
Everyone? everyone that's new school and they want to take out the old school generation, let's go. I'm ready.
Okay.
Anyone that's new generation, I'm waiting for you.
Okay. Good. Do you have a favorite book? Are you a reader?
No, unfortunately, I'm not a reader.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Then we will just cut this out.
If if I was to advise someone to read something,
yeah,
it would be Law of Attraction.
Law of Attraction, okay.
100%, because listen to the title, Law of Attraction. It will attract what you want, you know, and you would find out apparently for what you want. I don't know why I don't read this book. I'm trying to sell it to you and I haven't read it. But you know what? I'm going to read that book one day. I'll read it.
There is also a free YouTube video, people reading it and like a documentary on it. So if you're not reading, they'll get the content out.
The audio. Exactly. Just like this interview. If you're not watching this right now, you're listening to this shit, and I hope you're enjoying it.
Nice. Best calisthenics event you've ever been at so far?
The Calisthenics World Cup, bro, in Bahrain. The team one. Do you remember?
Nope.
What? the first place got $10,000, bro.
Wow. Which year was it?
16, I think.
Okay.
Or 14. Yeah, 16. When it was the team battles, it was 4 versus 4, bro.
Wow.
That was probably... It was a WC, a World Calisthenics Organization event in Bahrain. And it was like a team of 4 from each country. So like you represent your country. That was probably the competition where I actually shed a tear with my brothers, bro. That's where I was like, I'm crying now because I'm emotionally like shocked of how far we've come. You know, like we're in Bahrain. We just won $8,000 for doing tricks on a bar, bro. When all 4 of us, I'm not gonna say who I was with, we used to sell crack, bro. You know, like it's like it was just a moment in life that it was just like it was really good, and we felt like a family, you know. And all the World Calisthenics Organization events in my eyes were professional as fuck, where to the point that they picked you up from the hotel, from the airport to the hospitality of the apartment and the hotel and the food and taking us around. Like in Dubai, bro, we did so many things. We went to the desert. Day one, we went to the desert. Day two, we went to spend time in the Burj Khalifa and spa. It was like proper professional taking care of the athletes. And day 4, dinner. Like, you know, it was like a schedule, bro. It was like we were back at school again, except for we were getting spoiled. That's why I love, well, WCO's competitions were all the best for me. Yeah.
Wow. So shout out to them. That's great.
Yeah, World Calisthenics Organization, Brendan, big shout out to them. Big shout out to all the sponsors as well, man. Without them, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be getting paid. I wouldn't be living. I think I would be going back to what I used to do. And big shout out to the Russian Federation for getting my name out as well. the WS, WCF. Without them putting me, Raul, Daniel, and Eric on the map, you know, and WCO for making me, for letting me have the chance to be the world featherweight champion for 3 years running. Yeah, so big honors to them.
Nice. And the last question, and probably the most difficult one, no, maybe not for you, but we'll see, dynamics or aesthetics. What would you choose if you have to decide?
Shit. What do you mean? But give up one. Give up one.
Yes, completely.
Completely. Like dynamic, meaning like I can't do a push-up, a clap push-up.
No, you can't.
I can't do a backflip.
No, that's dynamics as well. Like the clap push, I don't know. Like, I don't want to go too far, but I think you get the point.
Shit. I don't know, bro. Statics, bro. No. Statics.
So you go with statics?
Yes.
Okay, it's locked in.
Because I can't change back because it's longevity. For longevity, statics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, last question. How can people get in touch with you? How do they find you?
Yes. So you can find me on all social media platforms except for Twitter. So find at Small Spartan J on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. And Facebook. You can't get me on Facebook. You can follow my fans page. I don't call it a fans page. I call it a supporters page because fans sounds rude, you know, in British culture. So yeah. We say supporters page. Follow my supporters page, Small Spartan J on Facebook. And Instagram and TikTok. That's where you can find me.
Nice. Great. Yeah. So we're coming to an end. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this till the end. I don't know how much time passed. Yeah, over an hour. So it's like in today's generation, people who sit down an hour and listen or watch something for an hour, that's like that needs so much respect, you know, like this is really great. So thanks for that. First of all,
Big love, man. Big love. I just want to say one more thing. Yes. If you guys want my merchandise, you can go on my website as well. barsparta.co.uk, and you can get all merch. It ships to all countries all around the world. It can even ship to the moon, bro. But yeah, all programs will be up there soon. And big shout out to my team and to all my sponsors. Big shout out to Barspar. Big shout out to World Calisthenics Organization. Big shout out to Bulk Powders and for all the people that made this possible. And big shout out to Go Nation, man. These guys, they put in so much work. They put in so much work behind the scenes and for Germany in general and for the calisthenics community. I see these guys supporting so many athletes all around the world and doing so many things for the community, like sponsoring events, helping out with events, hosting events. I see you guys working as well as athletes. You guys are working for the community side, and it's like much love to you guys, man, because it's people like you guys that kids should look up to. Because this is what you guys should be doing if you want to make this sport better, or if you want to make it in this sport, you should be doing what we're doing now, trying to spread the love and the positivity and trying to show you guys. Like, bro, I bet some of you guys that are listening to this now didn't even know the stuff that you heard in this interview.
Yeah.
Because you guys are so new to the game, you know? So
that's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's okay because you're new, but dig deep. Dig deep and see who's actually, because then you'll appreciate like what you have right now. You know, I never had nothing. I never had no program, no programming, no coach, no nothing. I had to literally learn street workouts. I was doing street workout. These kids these days don't do street workout. They do calisthenics, which is beautiful. And I really appreciate guys like you.
Thank you. That's like awesome to hear. Thanks a lot for your time. I know your Sunday evenings are precious, and
bro, then they're not precious, bro. Look, I'm chilling editing videos, man. So like
yeah, but still, you could be eating with your roommates. So I just appreciate your time, appreciate your insights, appreciate your story.
Love, man.
I didn't know that. I think a lot of, like, the people will love to hear that. I love them when people talk about their life, talk about their past, etc., because it's really it helps people. It helps people to see that they are not alone with their story, with their with their past, etc. So yeah, big thanks for that.
Oh, big love, man. And people that are going through anything mental, man, like, everyone goes through all of these things all the times, you know. You just, like, as humans, we got to be better and adapt, right? You got to strive through and just keep going. That's all I got to say. Like, so anyone that's going through depression or anything that, you know, a lot of men don't talk about these things, because as men, we feel like it's not manly to open up about, you know, depression and shit. But guys, you're still a man. If you got a dick and a balls, you're still a man. So don't worry about it, and stay positive and stay happy. That's it.
That's true. So yeah, let's end on these words. Thanks a lot, Jay, for your time. Thanks everyone for listening, and have a great day, great week, great life.
Great evening, great night, great day, great week, great evening. Bro, everything. I hope everyone's having a great life.